Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by my friend and colleague at the Center for Security Policy, its Executive Vice President, Jim Hansen, a former Green Beret who brings to our programming and the work of the Center, for that matter, a common sense boots-on-the-ground perspective, which I find both refreshing and invaluable. Jim, it's good to have you. Welcome back.
Always a pleasure, Frank.
So much to talk about, Jim. Maybe we could start with this latest announcement from the Trump administration that individuals flying out of airports in eight countries that happen to be co-located with a lot of Sharia supremacists aren't going to be able to bring their laptops and tablets and other big electronic devices on board with them. They're going to have to stash it in their checked luggage. Jim, what is that reminding us about, and how might it bear on some other decisions that the president has taken that have engendered some controversy?
Well, I guess there's two prongs to this, Frank. Number one is there are people saying this does nothing to improve security. And I think that's an unfair thing to say. It's not ideal. Ideally, if you want to stop the actual legitimate threat of miniaturized bombs that Al-Qaeda and others have used to blow up aircraft in the past and are currently planning and scheming to use now, then you'd just ban all electronics, you'd ban checked baggage, you know, and you'd make people fly in bathing suits so you could make sure they don't have anything with them. But if you want to take a step in the right direction, moving them out of the cabin where someone can manipulate them and use a manual trigger to detonate them into the cargo hold makes it more difficult for them to blow up an airplane in flight, which is the goal. So it's a step for security, if not the ideal one. And there is no ideal security.
Yeah. But let me ask you, Jim, you actually used to make bombs for a living when you were in the Green Beret. How serious a problem do you think this actually is? Is there evidence that the bad guys, the Al-Qaedas, the Islamic States and so on, are actively pursuing this kind of option?
Well, do you remember that failed Navy SEAL raid in Yemen? That actually found more evidence that they are continuing their longstanding efforts to blow up aircraft, to, you know, I guess, get better at what it takes to make these bombs, to put them in smaller packages. And they have done this. You know, there have been a couple instances where they've actually taken at least one aircraft out of the sky with what was some sort of copier toner bomb. And then another one where it looks like they had a laptop that didn't actually take the aircraft down, but killed the bomber and forced it to land. So it's a legitimate threat. The Trump administration is taking a legitimate security approach to it. And as usual, the usual suspects are demagoguing against this as if it's somehow bigotry, not security.
Now, Jim, let me just ask you, when you make those points, and I think they're salient and important, to say the least, how does it tie into the argument that we've been hearing of late that federal judges, who presumably have no access to intelligence information, let alone any responsibility for the national security, are the best to make judgments about not so much laptops, but people that ought to be admitted into this country? In fact, given constitutional rights to come into this country, even if they're foreign nationals living overseas. What's your response to that as a serious national security practitioner yourself?
As a security practitioner, I find it offensive that, you know, someone with zero experience wants to insert themselves and usurp, you know, the rightful authority of the person who the Constitution says is supposed to make those decisions and who was given executive power. So we didn't have to have a committee meeting of all the liberal judges in the country and explain to them, here's the threat, people, you know, it's legitimate. Here's all the information. Can we get a vote or do we need to staff a memo and, you know, wait a couple months for this while you guys argue amongst yourselves? That's not what the Constitution envisioned. That's not what the laws that Congress passed say the president can do. And that's a distinct national security threat if we allow liberal judges to decide that they, better than the president, can implement our national security policy.
Jim, let me ask you about, speaking of security practitioners, Susan Rice, the former national security advisor to President Obama, took to the pages of the op-ed section of the Washington Post yesterday to inveigh against the Trump administration under the headline, and you just can't make this stuff up, folks, "When White House Twists the Truth, We Are All Less Safe," unquote. Now, Jim Henson, your thoughts on that op-ed?
Oh, my God. Frank, that's one of those things that is just so outrageous. It's hard to wrap my tiny little mind around the unmitigated gall it takes for her to say that. Her specifically, the woman who went on all the Sunday shows after Benghazi and told a bald-faced lie about what caused those attacks. She blamed it on a YouTube video, which they knew was not the cause. This was not, a mistake. This was not flawed intelligence. It was not anything else. It was a calculated attempt to use propaganda generated by the president and his team to lie to the American public and try to deflect blame from themselves.
Twist the truth, in other words.
They didn't even twist the truth, Frank. They nuclear detonated all over the truth and made up lies to try and deflect blame that they deserved for the Benghazi attack and lack of response.
Yeah, and among other things, we have documentation of all of that in the form of memos from Ben Rhodes, echo chamber Rhodes, to the entire interagency, telling him this is the spin we're going to put on it to deflect attention from a failed policy of the president. And you're absolutely right, Jim. I mean, this truly is scandalous on her part, both in terms of what she initially did and the fact that she's now taking it upon herself to be the arbiter of what is true and what is good for the United States. Jim, one of the other things that you've been very actively involved in over the years, I know, particularly during your time in the Green Beret, was how to deal with the threat from North Korea. And that threat has only metastasized dramatically in recent years, particularly under the so-called strategic patience policy of the Obama administration. Rex Tillerson, Donald Trump's Secretary of State, was in the region last week saying that policy is at an end. There have been tests of new, it seems, stages of a missile that could for sure reach the United States. There have been other salvos of missiles tested and apparently a nuclear test in the offing. What's your current thinking about the threat we're facing from North Korea and what should be done about it?
Well, I think the fact that Secretary of State Tillerson announced that strategic patience, Obama's policy for North Korea, was over, points out that there will someday be a class on Obama's national security and foreign policy that will include strategic patience, leading from behind, and the debacle of the Iran deal, and it'll be called dismal failure. How do you even deal with someone who believes that strategic patience and leading from behind are policies? We've been sitting and watching the North Koreans get more and more provocative, sell weapons. The Israeli strike in Syria this week was taking out North Korean missiles they were giving to or selling to Hezbollah, paid for by Iranian money that Obama gave them. So the entire thing, it's all interconnected with Obama's inability to run a foreign policy that didn't make us less safe. North Korea is getting worse. This Kim seems to be the craziest in the long line of Kims who have been running that country. And I think strategic patience was nothing more than whistling past the graveyard. It's time to put the pressure on the Chinese and actually do something to ensure that we find some lever to use against them that stops these provocations.
Well, one that has been tested in the past and works, we know, is putting sanctions on Chinese banks that provide essentially life support for the government of North Korea, money laundering and the like. And I hope that we'll see a return to that, as well as returning North Korea to the state sponsor of terrorism list, where it certainly belongs. Jim Henson, we have to leave it at that for the moment. We look forward to our collaboration in the days ahead and your return to this program next week, probably as a guest host, as well as one of our guests. It's always a delight to have you with us. Thanks for all that you do, my friend. Next up, we will speak with Luis Fleischman about the latest out of Venezuela. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.